I think in order for us to get these two wins in the last three games, I think we have to attack these last three games like we plan on winning all three games.
I'm proud of, you know, we just playing together, sticking together, winning games, you know, roughly losing the games, and not breaking, like, you know, tearing apart.
You are now inside the Monarch Asylum.
A fresh take from one of the most diehard alums, born from the layout tables of the Mason Crown and raised in the studio of WODU. Now he's back and ready to lead you into a discussion about Old Dominion sports. Here's your host, my main man and yours, David Agudelo.
Welcome back inside the Monarch Asylum podcast. My name is David Agudelo. I am the host of this ship all season long. A brand new podcast for 2015, talking all things Old Dominion football and basketball. I do have to apologize first off. Let me just get right to that. Basketball season kind of snuck up on me. I didn't realize the first game was this Friday. I thought it was next Friday or next week. So I am working on basketball contacts now for getting some basketball players on the future show and just to start talking a little more basketball because it's right around the corner. I know how excited we all are for the upcoming season. Led by Trey Freeman and the boys, a lot of potential, a lot of excitement, and it's good to see that back, especially after what they had to build on last year. But we'll get more into that next week when I know they've already had a couple games under their belt, and we'll have definitely a lot to talk about to break down with those Old Dominion men basketball Monarchs. It's always good to see them doing well. Once again, you are in the Monarch Asylum podcast. I am David Agudelo. You can follow me on Twitter at ODU Asylum. I don't tweet a lot. I usually tweet the important stuff and a stupid thought I may have every once in a while. You can also find me on Facebook at Monarch Asylum, at Monarch Asylum on Facebook. The voices you heard at the top of the podcast, as are usual, as are our guests for the rest of the program. We only have two today, but two pretty significant ones. David Washington, quarterback for your Old Dominion Monarchs, and Rashad Coward, the big defensive tackle, seems to find himself in the middle of a lot of plays for that ODU defense to join us. And it's good to hear about how they both found their way to Old Dominion and how they see their respective units playing and advancing through this first official full season in Conference USA with the bowl eligibility. Anyways, let's get back to this USTA game, University of Texas at San Antonio. Okay, I got it wrong. There's so many letters. I hate those letter schools. They're too confusing. And it was a big win for Big Blue this week, 36-31 over the Roadrunners of University of Texas at San Antonio, keeping their bowl bids alive, which has really been a theme we've heard all year from this, from not just from the coaching, basically from the coaching staff and the players, that they wanted those six wins and that's what they're going out to get. They want that first bowl game and they want it bad. As Bobby Wilder always likes to remind us, that there are 33 first and second year players on this team. That's a lot, and we know that. And I think he reminds us that pretty much every week in the post game press conference or during his week. And I think he just wants to. It's just a constant reminder of how young we are. Is that the youngest team in Conference USA, the fourth youngest in the country, are the most current numbers, I believe. I know, I guess it fluctuates with injuries. But I think Bobby wants us to remember that to help temper our enthusiasm. And basically all they wanted to see this year was progress. And I think we're starting to see that, especially with how they've been playing. But anyways, Bobby Wilder called this a huge win. And this had a little bit of everything. This was really vintage ODU football. It had big plays, a big comeback, a key and crazy onside kick that they called the sniper. And so it includes Chris Curley just knocking the snot out of the ball right at someone's face mask. And then they got the bounce. They got exactly, that's exactly how you draw it up. Big plays when it mattered, big offense when it mattered. This is what we're used to seeing at ODU, and it's good to see them keeping this up in the close games. They haven't had many close games this year, but when they're close, these are the types of games they play, which is very encouraging for down the road, especially when you know how many college games end so closely. And I can tell you what I like about this team, too, is it seems like when they're in a close game and it comes down to the wire, you have confidence they're going to make the play. You expect them to make the play. And I can tell you right now, I have that exact opposite feeling with the NFL team I cover down here in Miami. When it gets down to the wire, I don't think impending doom is the right word to use, or right phrase, but there's just this feeling that what's going to happen? Who's going to make the mistake? Is it here? Where's the turnover? Where's the fumble? Where's the bad pass interference? I feel that you can feel that negative emotion. I guess it is impending doom. I guess technically, I mean, that's exactly what it is, the fear of impending doom. But it's nice you don't have that with the Monarchs. It's completely different. You expect them to make the play, and a majority of the time, they do. Now, listen, let's be honest about UTSA. They were 1-7. Yes, it was homecoming, but really nothing to play for. So I really think that's a team you needed to go in and beat. And they did. And I got to give the Monarchs credit. I think that's a game that you have to win. And they are now 4-0 in domes, which I guess could count as a useless stat. You know, I got to work on my useless stats because, I some stats mean something to one person and won't mean anything to anyone else. So, but the 4-0 in domes. Now, if only they could play all their game in domes, that'd be great. Now, let's talk a little bit more about the UTSA game. God, I hate that name. I'm just going to call them the Roadrunners. ODU did get off to a slow start. It was very encouraging to see them move the ball up and down the field the way they did, but they struggled in the red zone, which they've shown at times to do this year, and just they could not punch the ball in. It was kind of a little bit like FIU all over again. Lots of yards, little points to show for it. 4 red zone visits early, only 3 field goals, including 1 missed field goal. I mean, it was good they got those points because obviously they needed every last one from today, but they need to find a way to get those in the end zone. And it was something that they know about and that they fixed in this game, which was good to see. And, you know, at one point they're down 14-3 and they fought back with 20 unanswered points. And that was nice. It was nice to see them not get discouraged and keep moving the ball, keep working the ball down the field. And eventually this was a back-and-forth game. Like ODU games tend to be sometimes when they're close. Get a score, give up a score. Get a score, give up a score. And it's, I don't know, I like it. It's fun. I mean, who wants to see a blowout? Blowouts are boring. I like to see games go back and forth and come down to see who makes a play. And this time it was ODU football that made the play, which they normally do. I'll get into this in a minute, in the close games. But on the drive of the game, ODU needed a big drive. Bobby Wilder called it the drive of the game, and David Washington looked like the real deal. They get the ball on the 25-yard line. They need a touchdown. 1st and 10, he throws it to Ray Lowry. Ray drops the ball. And then it was 4 consecutive passes for David Washington. 14 yards to Duhart, 11 yards to Pascal to put them at the 50, 9 more yards to Zach Pascal, and then 40 yards on a play that he extended the play with his legs, with his mobility. He finds Duhart for 40 yards to pay dirt for the winning game. And that was really David Washington really just looking great, needing to make a play, making all the plays, and he should have been 5-5 because with that drop by Ray Lowry, he should have caught that. Of course, it changes the whole drive, but David Washington was definitely on at key moments of the game, and you know that has to be encouraging for especially what we've seen in the past and what we expect. Let's take a little closer look at some of the players. David Washington, I was just talking about. David, 29 of 48, 378 yards in the air, 2 TDs. 12 rushes, 69 yards. And he had some really big runs on third down several times to extend a play or using his legs to extend a play for a first down. So he really used all his athleticism. He looked poised and comfortable. A lot of good play action plays too, using the run, setting up the play action. It seems to me like they broke out the play action on some when they needed some of their bigger plays, and it worked. And he showed us a lot of athleticism, David, showing that his knee is good. You know, he talks about that later in the podcast, how it's at about 95% right now, but then he also admits that everyone's banged up this time of year. So you never know. You're never truly at 100%. But it was David Washington, just a great performance. I mean, 378 yards. I don't think you want him to throw it 48 times long term, but that's what the game plan called for, and that's what they executed. A kid who I like seeing right now, Jonathan Duhart, just seems to be stepping up, and really we're seeing a kid develop while playing the game. You know, he's a young guy, but to 8 catches, 160 yards, 2 touchdowns, I mean, that's huge. Bobby Wilder said it this week, it's the best game he's ever played at Old Dominion. And, you know, and it beat him last game was his previous best game. So we're seeing the development we want to see from some of these kids. And they really went into this game wanting to target his big frame on the smaller corners. That was part of the game plan. He's 6'3". You could tell that he's kind of becoming their new red zone target with his size and his ability to go up and get that ball. So it's nice to see his development, especially considering how he started the year with several drops. And, you know, David Washington talks about this later, too, that his confidence seems really high right now for Jonathan Duhart. So that's good to see. Zach Pascal, just another great game. It's nice to have this 1-2 receiver punch right now. 10 catches, 146 yards. Bobby Wilder's words, he's an absolute weapon right now, which is true when you see what he can do from all over the field. From the touchdown run at FIU, he even, remember, had a pass at FIU for about 40 yards. You know, he's a guy that you can really put all over the place and causes a lot of problems, which is really nice to have that kind of player. Ray Baby Bull Lowry, you know, really workman type numbers today. 23 carries, 103 yards. His longest one was 16 yards, so he really grinded it out. Did get into the end zone two times. And congratulations, first rusher in ODU history to break 1,000 yards. It's great for Ray. And he broke his previous record for yardage last year. So something tells me Ray's going to be sitting atop of that record board for quite a while if he keeps doing what he's doing. But, you know, I would say, like I said earlier, this was part of the game plan. I think they wanted to save Ray a little bit. I think they knew there's some injuries at running back. They had to move Kayshon Strong to wide receiver. Jeremy Cox has that shoulder issue. So I think they're trying to limit Ray a little bit because they know they might need him down the road these last three games. So I don't think they want to put the heavy load on him, especially when they didn't have to, because I believe they saw something in the UTSA secondary that they could take advantage of, and they obviously did take advantage of. So I'm not too worried about Ray. I think Ray did a great performance, and I think this is about where they want him, about the 23 to 24 carries, three or four catches out of the backfield, and just to preserve him a little bit. But you know how it goes with Ray. If it has to, he'll touch it 35 times. So he'll take it and run his heart out. So, but it was a good game from Ray. He did exactly, you know, not the big playmaker this time, but just the chain mover, which was nice to see. Big credit's got to go to the offensive line. Three guys played all 85 snaps: Burns, Clark, Newborn. Bobby Wilder called them, they were just warriors up front. And man, I tell you what, as banged up as they are, for them, those guys to play that many plays in one game, I cannot imagine how much ice the University of Miami has to go through to keep those guys iced up. Because that's really great work against defenses that know you got a blitz. They know they're going to see the blitz. So for that O-line to really communicate and work and play banged up the way they are, those guys deserve a lot of credit. Finally, let's talk about this defense. You know, I got to be honest. With defenses, for me, I don't need a dominant defense. I think with all these new rules now about quarterbacks can do this, you can't hit the quarterback, you can't hit the receiver, you can't breathe on the guy, I think offenses are just going to dominate from now on. So I need a defense that needs to be, listen, don't get blown out, but also make the time you play. And this is what we've seen time in and time again from this defense in close games. Eastern Michigan, first game of the year, down by 4. Eastern Michigan has the ball, 4th and 6, 25 seconds left at the 40. Tim Ward, tip and pick, seals the game. Charlotte's down by 3, drives inside the ODU 45 with under a minute to go. What happens then? Onshane Zimini, sack on first down, 3 incompletions, ODU wins the game. Then, of course, we saw the UTS game, defense closing it out twice. Twice they had a chance, and twice they came up and they showed up. So I have to say, it's nice when ODU's in a close game to see the defense perform and make the play when they have to make the play. That's what I want most from my defense. Listen, I don't care if you give up 45 points. If ODU scores 46, just don't give up 47. You know, so make that play. And today's football, I think just being a key timely defense is the most important thing for your defense. And listen, I just crunched the numbers. You know, if ODU can just stay in a close game close, I like their chances. You know, in their 5 losses, ODU has been outscored by 30 points a game, 210 to 63. That's just brutal. So we just got to find a way to stay in games. I mean, we won by 5, we won by 3, and won by 4. So if we can keep it close, I like ODU's chances. I must say, I do like what I saw from ODU against the Roadrunners. You know, I didn't think they could win without just pounding Ray Baby Bull up the middle. You know, and they kind of proved me wrong. They went in with a game plan. They felt they could use their receivers over the smaller corners, and it worked. And to be honest, even Larry Coker admitted after the game that it caught them off balanced. So it was nice to see the ODU come up with a good game plan and execute it. Nice to see that they have the guys to execute it. So that's always very important, too, especially with that, how many injuries these guys have had. Well, Wilder, I believe he's in win mode now. He just wants to win. He wants to get those six wins. And he even said after this game it was the most emotional win and probably the happiest he's seen his locker room, at least probably in a long time. We'll talk more about that coming up right now. We got a couple players back-to-back, starting off with quarterback David Washington. We'll talk a little bit about just his time at ODU and how he got here, and follow that up with a nice interview with defensive tackle Rashad Coward. Not so big man is playing a little lighter than he used to play in the past, and it's making a big difference. Those two players coming up in the Monarch Asylum podcast.
Down in the gas, and that's so low. Hang your head over your shoulder, and you can hear the four wind blow.
All right, continue on in the Monarch Asylum podcast, keeping the chains moving, as Bobby Wilder always says. Excited to welcome in the next guest, quarterback for your Old Dominion Monarchs, number 10, David Washington, the junior out of Raleigh, North Carolina. David, how was practice today, and how are you doing?
Practice was pretty good today. Good work in putting in the game plan for UTEP this Saturday. I'm doing pretty well.
Nice. Now, I noticed that you are from Raleigh, North Carolina, so that means to tell me that you probably consider yourself a decent basketball player. Is this true?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Come on, just all right. Listen, the one thing I've learned about guys from North Carolina is most of them consider themselves pretty good basketball players. So where would you rank yourself? How good are you?
I mean, it is a basketball state, and Raleigh is definitely a basketball city. But naturally, I'm pretty good just because of me being from there. But I wouldn't say I'm a college basketball. I play college basketball, but I'm pretty good.
All right. Fair enough. So I can understand that. So what was the difference when you were in high school? Why did you skew towards football and not basketball? What was the difference for you there? Why that decision?
Well, I realized that how much I enjoyed contact. And football gave me a lot more of that than basketball actually did. So I went with football, as well as the fact that you know, I'm not a 6'6" giant or anything.
Yeah, so you definitely need that exercise. You'd have to have been a quick point guard or shooting guard to play college basketball. Absolutely. That's interesting, though. You enjoyed the contact. What positions did you play in high school where you were getting all the hits?
In football, my first year I played linebacker.
Okay.
And then I played quarterback, but I mean, quarterback in high school was a little bit different than quarterback is here now, where, you know, I try to avoid it. And high school, I actually went towards contact.
Oh, no, absolutely. I would hope so. The ODU website still has you listed as a wide receiver, which I find kind of interesting. But I have to admit, you look really comfortable at quarterback. What was that transition like back for you when they initially told you that they were going to move you from wide receiver back to quarterback? What was that process like for you?
Well, it was actually a little bit easier than I thought it was going to be. And I'll have to give the credit on that one to Coach Whitcomb and Shula, actually, because of how much they helped me with all the reads and my footwork and just all that stuff. It was a little bit easier than I originally thought it would be.
I can imagine it can be pretty overwhelming, especially when you look at the playbook and how many different varieties you can go. How long did it take you to get comfortable with certain plays? I know they talked about how against UTSA they installed some plays that you felt more comfortable with. So was there a certain aspect of the game plan that you felt more comfortable with initially than some others?
You know, everything was about the same as far as how comfortable I was with it, because, you know, I hadn't really got any game reps with it. But once I got out there, and, you know, it took like a quarter for me to really get comfortable to get to the floor of the game. Really, it's just a matter of me getting to the floor of the game, and I get comfortable with everything else.
How much did Zach help you? I know you guys were freshman roommates freshman year. But then when you made the move to wide receiver, I know he worked a lot with you. And then you go back to quarterback, and all of a sudden, not only do you have a huge day, but Zach has a huge day. You know, 11 catches, 231 yards, 3 touchdowns versus Charlotte. What's that relationship like, and how come you guys hit it off so quickly on the field?
Oh, well, first, I want to say I didn't have a huge day that day. That was that. Zach had a huge day. I mean, I just threw the ball in his area, and he went and got it. And I think that basically answers the question. He made it really easy for me, just being able to throw the ball somewhere in his area, and he would make a play on it. And then make a play after the catch. So, and he just made it really easy for me. And that's why that chemistry looked like, you know, it was there. Because, I mean, if somebody makes me look good, then I'm going to keep trying to give them the ball.
No, that sounds like a smart game plan. What about the other receivers? I imagine, was it a difficult transition to go from another one of the receivers in the wide receiver group to now being the quarterback? And at times you have to maybe bark at them to line up in the right position or to run a route a certain way. What's that dynamic like going from one group to the other?
I wouldn't say that I really changed groups, because even when I was a receiver, I was still kind of a part of both groups. Now it's just I'm going to the quarterback meetings. I don't talk to the receivers any differently than I did when I was a receiver. I don't talk to the quarterback any differently than I did. It's like a brotherhood, really. And I mean, if I get loud with them or something, they understand. I'm not getting loud with them to be rude or to be like I'm, you know, bigger than them or anything. I'm being loud because I want them to know like this thing is important, or we really need this from you. And then even if I do be loud and I go and I talk to them, I let them know like, make sure they get like what I was trying to tell them.
Tell me a little bit about Jonathan Duhart. It looks like he's got some real size on this team. Last game, it looked like he kind of, you know, you had a couple touchdowns to him on similar plays. How have you seen him develop? Because it seems to me like early he struggled, but he's really seemed to be coming into his own right now.
Yeah, absolutely. It's probably a bit of a confidence thing, you know. And I know from being a receiver, after you drop a couple balls, it really affects your confidence. And I just try to tell him, you know, just don't get down about any of that stuff. And this past week, you know, he really just exploded. And it surprised me a little bit, but at the same time, I wasn't that surprised, because I've seen Duhart make plays like that all the time. And he's a really big body, and he uses it.
Yeah, and as a quarterback, I guess you have to just put the ball in the right position and then kind of let him do the rest of the work.
Exactly. He's really good at going and finding the ball and going up and getting it. So just like I did with that against Charlotte, I was able to just put the ball somewhere around him and he would go and get it.
David, how was the knee feeling? I was there at the FIU game. It looked a lot worse than it turned out to be. But what's the rehab been like, and how are you feeling right now? What percentage are you at?
I'll probably say I'm at about 95% with my knee, 95 to 100%. You know, it's late in the season, so I don't really know what 100% feels like at this point in my body, period. But it is feeling pretty good.
Yeah, because Coach Wilder talked about, you know, he probably wouldn't clear you till you could quote unquote protect yourself, because you know, your ability to scramble, it is a huge part of your game. How are you taking that development, learning when to throw and when to tuck it down and run? Because I know when the play's happening, everything's happening so quick that's really something you got to work on. How do you work on that, knowing when to make the right decision?
I don't know that you can really work on that part of the game. It's kind of like a little clock that goes off in your head as a quarterback, and that also comes with repetition. It's not really something you can practice or a drill that you can come up with. It's like an instinct that grows on you with more and more repetition.
Like an internal clock.
Right.
All right, last couple questions for you, David. I do got to ask you, he has a potential of suiting up this week in the NFL. Taylor Heinicke, you had a chance to sit behind him for a couple years and watch him. What did you learn from him, from just kind of being around him, how he prepares and how he played? Did he have any influence on you on your early years as a quarterback at ODU?
absolutely cheated, but they sent the quarterback. He still is. A very good friend of mine, he just really taught me how to, like, be myself when I'm preparing or pre-game, just be myself. Don't try to be, like, if I'm not somebody that gets quiet before a game, don't try to do that. If I'm not somebody that has to do this, do that before a game, he said, he taught me to just be myself. I learned that from just sitting behind him and just watching him play. I would see that the game that he did his best was when he was just himself before a game. The games that he would try to, like, over-focus, I guess, for a game that he didn't do as well. So, I just wanted to be me at all times.
Not trying to do too much. Do you still keep in touch with Taylor at all? Or you change text messages at all during the season?
I do every now and then. You know, I talk to him, and we play the game together a couple of times, PlayStation. So, yeah, we keep in touch.
Well, you said you play some games?
Yeah, we played Call of Duty once or twice.
Oh, okay. So who's better, you or him at Call of Duty?
I'd say I'm better by just a little bit.
And probably a better basketball player, too, I can imagine. Last question for you, David. You guys, I know how important getting to a bowl game is for you guys. It's been one of the stated goals from the beginning of the season. I know it's one game at a time. But, you know, two wins in the last three games, what needs to happen for you guys to get those two wins in the last three games?
I think in order for us to get these two wins in the last three games, I think we have to attack these last three games like we plan on winning all three games. And then we will get to the goal that we want. We have to attack it like we want to win all three. We can't go at it thinking that we just want to win two. We can't go into any games thinking that we're going to lose or any of that. Yes, it's going to be a tough game, but we have to want to eat anything that we will win.
Coach Wilder did say he's approaching this as a playoff game, playoff week. Can you feel that in practice, that kind of sense of urgency? Is that something that he makes known?
Absolutely. Definitely a sense of urgency, and he is not hiding his sense of urgency at all. But the difference is letting us know how serious everybody should take this, and I feel like we're doing a good job of taking it serious.
All right, David Washington, quarterback for your Old Dominion Monarchs, number 10. Thank you very much for your time, and good luck the rest of the season.
All right, thank you.
We're back here in the Monarch Asylum podcast. Very excited for the next guest we have. A lot of times these guys don't get enough credit because they're not really the faces you put on the billboards, but the D-tackles do a lot of work. I want to welcome to the podcast Rashad Coward, number 57, defensive tackle for your Old Dominion Monarchs, coming in at 6'5" out of Brooklyn, New York. He's a junior. Rashad, what are you playing at right now? What's your playing weight?
3'10".
How do you decide that weight? How do you decide what's a proper weight to play at? Because I know that's kind of crucial, especially your position. You want to be too big to lose some quickness, but you don't want to be too small to get pushed around.
Yeah. Well, I chose 3'10" because, you know, it helps me move. I move better, feel more comfortable at the weight, and my back doesn't hurt.
How does that process work? Did you try playing at a bigger weight and kind of realize that's the issue? Or how much does the coaching staff help with that decision?
My sophomore year, I was playing at 330, and I really couldn't move as well, and I always had, like, lower back problems. So after I dropped the weight, I've been playing faster and more physical.
And it seems like you seem more comfortable, so is Tyler probably the right decision in your mind?
Yeah, it was a great decision.
Now, is it tricky? Like, I know keeping that extra 20 pounds off, did you have to cut something out of your diet, or what are the eating habits of a big man on a college campus?
Well, I change my eating habits. You know, I eat small portions now every 2 to 3 hours, small portions of food, and just, you know, healthy food, of course, and just drink a lot of water, no juice, you know, soda.
Now, was that hard to do? Was that because that it's hard to change those eating habits? Was that a difficult thing to do, especially in college?
The eating habits, yeah, but I like drinking a lot of water.
Okay. Now, listen, how does a kid from Brooklyn find his way to Old Dominion in Southeast Virginia? How did that come about?
Oh, no, they found me. I didn't really, like, heard of Old Dominion. Never heard of them until, like, my senior year, like, a couple weeks before signing day.
Oh, that was that late in the process. And what happened? How did they approach you? And then what was that learning process like? Because I imagine 2 weeks before signing day, you got to make your decision pretty quick.
Yeah, you know, I came down and my dad is a big sports guy, but we were talking about Coach Wilder talking about education and, you know, getting my degree and stuff. Like, my dad really felt comfortable, and it was like a safe campus. And, you know, the players out of trouble, so my dad really liked it, and I told my mom about it. My mom said, if you're comfortable, I'm comfortable. You know, I should come see me in some games, so no problem.
Did it take a while to get used to the – now, I've been to New York. I have some friends from Brooklyn. I kind of know how up-paced it is and how down-paced Virginia is. How long did it take you to get used to the kind of quietness of Norfolk, Virginia compared to Brooklyn?
I'm still getting used to it. Still a hustle, man. So, but, you know, quiet and boring is just pretty much safe, you know. Keep me out of trouble. Keep my head on straight.
What's the biggest difference? What's the one thing you're still getting used to?
No transportation for real. No city buses, trains, nothing like that. And, like, just not a lot of lights.
I also see you're a big Eagles fan. How does a kid, am I right, you are an Eagles fan?
Yeah.
How does a kid from Brooklyn not follow the Jets or Giants? How does he become an Eagles fan?
After Michael Strahan retired, I was a Michael Vick fan, but I was also a Michael Strahan fan. So when he retired, I went with Michael Strahan.
Gotcha. I understand. What other schools did you consider? I know, like you said, 2 weeks before the process, you kind of get that approach from ODU, but which other ones were you in the mix from?
It was, right at first, it was Maryland, Syracuse, UConn, Buffalo, Wagner College, Temple.
There are a couple of names on the list. What were your friends and maybe coaches and teammates, high school teammates' reactions when you said Old Dominion? I mean, let's be honest, a relatively unknown school that had a lot of promise, but not a lot of people know about Old Dominion. They're still learning about them now.
Well, our head coach asked me like 3 or 4 times, are you sure you want to go here? I said, yeah. You know, it's a new start. I said, I can make a name for myself. I don't have to sit behind nobody at any time.
Let's talk a little football. How have you seen this defense develop? I mean, we talk about how young it is, but you do have some veteran players in the defense, most notably for me up the middle, including yourself, a T.J. Ricks, a Felonte Mischer. What do you like? What are you most proud of your defense from this year?
Leadership, and everybody's taking responsibility for themselves and their actions.
Now, is that like a group thing? Because I know sometimes there's one vocal leader that emerges, but is it seems to me like you're kind of referring as that's an entire group thing. You don't really have necessarily that one leader on the field.
No, not like one leader. Because, you know, we hold the defensive line will hold the DBs to certain expectations, so then they will hold us. So, you know, we might get frustrated at each other, but we understand, like, you know, they expect better from us and they expect better from them, and that's what makes us play better.
Now, we also know there's some young guys in that defense, too. So maybe what are you, I guess, least proud or most upset about with the defense this year? Is there something you feel you guys need to work on or improve on?
I'm proud. You know, we just playing together, sticking together, winning games, you know, roughly losing the games, and not breaking, like, you know, tearing apart like we used to do back last year, the year before. But now, all we got to work on now is, you know, finishing tackles, just getting, like, we making the contact, you know, just drive your feet, little things like that.
How have you seen the improve on the size on the defensive line? I know it's such a big difference once you start moving up in FBS. And sometimes you just physically overmatch, but you've got some guys who got some pretty good size on them with O'Shane Zimenez. Tim Ward is a freshman, but he's a big kid. How have you seen the defensive line size and their athleticism improve? And how important is that for you guys to be successful?
Yeah, if you can't stop the run, we pretty much won't lose the game. And we practice double teams every day to get better in the middle, to make sure nobody gets pushed on us.
All right, last couple of questions here. With Shad Khaour, defensive tackle for your Old Dominion Monarchs. I read somewhere that you said the best advice you ever got was, quote, take coaching and don't talk back. Now, that sounds like a coach's dream. Who gave you advice who gave you that advice and why did it stick with you for so long?
It's my high school coach. He used to talk to me like a knucklehead my sophomore year in high school. And he gave me a man-to-man talk, telling me I could go far in sports and life. and football keep me out of trouble and away from the wrong crowd. So I stuck with that, and you know, I went away from that maybe twice last year, but I just got my stuff together, and now I gotta lead the young guys, so I gotta watch what I say.
When you say you were a knucklehead back in high school, like, you don't have to give me specifics, but I mean, but what was it? Just a lot of little things, or what kind of you upset about?
It was just like bad grades and just not caring. But then I got myself together and realized I have an opportunity to do something fun and, like, you know, make something of myself.
Yeah, and get a free education. You can't beat that. Now, I also read somewhere that you said your dream vacation was in the Bahamas. Well, I don't know how much you're following the bowl bids. I know that's something you guys are fighting for, but Conference USA does have a bowl partnership with the Popeyes Bahamas Bowl. So you might be able to get that dream come true a little early, at least even on the with a college trip. But let's talk a little bit about the bowl game. I know that's kind of been a focus of this team. You need two wins in the final three. How important would it be to this team to make a bowl?
It's important, but Coach Wilder is telling us, you know, worry about this game, and we'll worry about the next one. So we're worried about UTEP right now. You know, once you win this game, then you can start, you know, planning on Southern Miss. And if we get Southern Miss, you know we're going to a bowl game. So we're focusing on one team right now and just focusing on winning and beating this team.
And what do you see from UTEP? What's their biggest challenge for your position and for your guys on the defensive line?
This double team, their O-line is physical, probably maybe the most physical O-line we've played all season because they have to run the ball a lot. So once we, you know, they're touching our manhood, and we just want to try to step up and just play as hard as we can.
Well, Rashad, good luck the rest of the season. We got three games. I know you guys need two wins. I know you want them bad. So good luck the rest of the season, and hopefully we'll get you that bowl game and double it up. Hopefully you get to go to the Bahamas.
Thank you.
From the devil, keep a super suit like I'm incredible. From the deep blue sea to the dark blue sky, I'm the baddest man alive. I grab a crocodile by his tail, handcuff the judge and throw the cops in jail. This woman break down and cry. I'm the baddest man alive.
Last block of the Monarch Asylum podcast. That song you just heard was The Baddest Man Alive by the Black Keys featuring the RZA. I love that song. That's a pretty good one. Pretty good video, too. It's got a lot of some stupid kung fu stuff in it, and I don't know. It's from that really bad movie they made, The Man with the Iron Arm or something like that. The Iron Fist, I think it might have been it. But, yeah, great song. I love that one. Other songs you heard on the podcast today include Down in the Valley by Otis Redding. I love me some old Otis Redding. And The Song for No One by Mike Snow. Mike Snow's kind of a new artist out there. At least he's new to me, and I like his stuff. A little poppy. But nice little beats to it. Let's take a quick look at UTEP. UTEP is basically in the same steps, feet right now, same shoes as Old Dominion. 4-5 overall, 2-3 in the league. They need this win just as much as the Monarchs do. Their head coach is Sean Kugler, former O-line coach for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I can tell you what, they are going to play tough. They're going to play physical. That's going to be the type of defense and offense they want to play. If you coach to Pittsburgh, any kind of defense or offensive line, you care about physicality because that is one of Pittsburgh's really MOs. You know it's going to be tough when you play the Steelers. So I'm pretty much expecting the same type of game with UTEP. They play tough, they play physical, and it's going to be a real battle in the trenches. Bobby Wilder even admitted that earlier that this week in the press conferences that the line of scrimmage is going to be a real challenge in this game, kind of winning dominance in that. So that's going to be a real challenge for this hurt offensive line being that physical. Against a physical line. They say they play better with Mac Leftwich. I don't know. I've never seen him play, but he's back from a concussion, and they team to move the ball better with him. I'll tell you what worries me about UTEP, the Miners, is that they're getting healthy on defense, and Bobby Wilder admitted it. They're a heavy blitz and man coverage team. They like to bring exotic blitzes all the time, safeties, corners, linebackers. they really create havoc and can have a lot of sacks and tackle for losses, and that's part of their defensive game plan. And that's the only thing that really concerns me, because at times ODU's blitz pickup has been perfect, but the problem is when you miss it, it looks really bad. And they've had several times this year where the blitz pickup wasn't made. I don't know if it's on the line, if it's on the quarterback, but they're going to need to fix that. They got to make sure that's not an issue this week, because that's how a game can be turned real quick, especially a close game, is a big turnover, a big sack fumble, a big tipped pass off for an uncovered rusher. You know, and ODU at times has a bad habit of just leaving guys wide open to come in and meet the quarterback. So I hope David Washington's knee's feeling extra better this week, because he might need those scrambling ability a little bit more than usual this week. But listen, this is a home game for ODU, so they should have the advantage. It's a playoff game. Playoffs should be a playoff-style atmosphere. The fans should be a nice support for the fans trying to get that fifth win. And it's also a key big home game with the noon start. I think that's a real benefit for ODU right now. UTEP has to make the longest trip in Conference USA. It's the furthest two schools are apart in Conference USA, from ODU in Norfolk and UTEP in El Paso. So that's a long trip. So not only do they make a long trip, but they got to play at noon on Saturday. And since El Paso, just a little geography lesson, is in the Mountain Time Zone, that's a two-hour difference. So they're playing at 10 a.m., so I really think it's important for ODU to get out on a fast start, you know. Get a nice long early drive, put some points on the board, get a touchdown, not those field goal struggles that we've had like the last game. Get a touchdown, put some pressure on them early, and try and keep some of those long drives they've been talking about doing, those 5, 6, 7 minute drives. Turn it, keep that defense on the field, try and tire them out. I think that would be the best way to go about beating UTSA. Just grind out those drives and beat them, and just try and make them tired, because, man, flying on a plane that long really stinks. But anyways, the playoffs have started for ODU, and Bobby Wilder has said that all week. You know, David Washington even admitted it. It felt a little different in practice week, like a playoff style. It's been 3 years since ODU has been to a postseason game, and Bobby Wilder saying this is the biggest home game since those playoff games. And I believe it, but I also think Bobby's saying this because he has a young team. I like the fact he's calling it a playoff team, a game. I like the fact that he's saying this one is more important than others. He's not afraid to put pressure on his guys. And as he told us, 33 first and second year guys, fourth youngest team in college football, youngest in Conference USA. I mean, that's almost on repeat for me. You know, he's not afraid to put pressure on these young guys to say, listen, you know, this game is more important than others, and it clearly is right now, because I know it's the next one. The next one's always the most important, but, you know, if you're sitting at 1-7, then it's not as important. You know, you're playing for pride at this point, but there's still stuff to get on the table. It's still there, and I like Wilder basically calling out the players and having that different attitude in practice that is palpable. I think it'll prepare them well for the future, being such a young team, to play in what they deem as big games. It'll make future big games maybe that much a little easier. Because I'll be honest, it's too often I hear it's just another game and a season is long. You know, and sometimes the season runs out of time, and sometimes it's not just another game. You know, sometimes I don't know if that's just coach talk or play. Well, it's definitely coach talk, but probably player talk too. But, you know, it's nice to see that you put this on your players. You know, let's see how they react with it. Because, hey, listen, this is ODU's playoff. If you want to get the bowl game, and we only got 3 games left this year, so let's go get it. Let's go get it down. Go get it. I mean, good thing for ODU is there's 7 bowl affiliations in Conference USA. And basically right now there are 5 games fighting for 3 of those bids. So I like ODU's chances. We'll get more into that next week. Definitely get more into that next week once we have 2 games left. But there's still too many scenarios to go over right now. And I really don't care about FIU's chances. So I'll just know better when I know ODU's chances. But anyways, that's it for this week. I want to thanks again for tuning in, for downloading, for listening on the Podomatic or the iTunes or whatever you listen on. Please tell your friends. Please tell everyone you like it. If you see anybody from ODU, tell them you like it. You know, I'm looking for all the support I can get out there, and I appreciate the support I do get from a lot of you guys out there. I know I trade tweets with you on a daily basis or on a weekly basis, and trade messages back and forth. So I can't thank you guys enough for the support. And we'll do this again next week. Kind of have hopefully a bigger one next week. Might be a little longer since I'm going to try and break some basketball into it. Try and get a beat writer, a couple player or two. and see how it goes from there. But next week, definitely look forward to that basketball preview and hopefully also recapping a big win over UTEP, which would be great to see. Once again, I am David Agudelo. This is the Monarch Asylum Podcast. Follow me on Twitter at ODU Asylum. Hit us up on Facebook at Monarch Asylum. Once again, thanks for listening, and we will see you next week. All right, now go out and get that W.